In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 15, Paul says these words, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." Paul had been talking about giving. He started in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, talking about the Macedonians and talking about the great gift that they had given. He describes it as a lavish gift. It was a gift that he said they gave beyond their power to give. They stood out as some of the great givers of the Bible. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he talks to the church at Corinth, and he says, "I've been boasting about you. I've been telling people about the gift that you're going to give. And some from Macedonia might come with me, and I don't want you to be embarrassed if they do. I want to make sure that you follow through with what your plans are, that you give this great gift that you've been planning for a year." And that leads Paul up to this statement, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." Paul says there's been some great givers in history, but there's never been a giver like God. There's never been one who gave a gift that compares to the gift that God gave to us. And that's the gift we're going to talk about tonight. It's an unspeakable gift. The Greek word there is a word that means simply that words fail. How do you put into words what God gave? How do you even describe a gift of the magnitude of the gift that God gave in the giving of His Son? Words fail to be able to even talk about that gift. This word, or another form of this word, is used in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, where Peter's talking about the fact that they have not seen the Lord, but they love Him. He says, "You've not seen Him, but believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable." Peter says, just thinking about Jesus fills your heart with joy that is beyond words, beyond your ability to express. Reminds us a little bit about what Paul found himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 through 4, where he talked about being called up into the third heaven and how that he heard words that were unspeakable, words that it wasn't lawful even to utter. Unspeakable gift that God has given to us. I want to give you four reasons tonight why this gift is unspeakable. First of all, it is unspeakable because it's more unique than any gift that's ever been given. There's never been a gift given like this gift as far as uniqueness is concerned. We may have received some rather unique gifts over the years. We never received a gift as unique as this one. You know, a lot of the gifts that we receive, and we're not complaining about them, but a lot of the gifts that we receive are mass-produced. They come off of an assembly line, and you can purchase any one that you want to, and they are virtually the same. They're carbon copies, as we say, of one another. Millions of them poured out on an assembly line, and you purchase one. It's yours, but you can't tell it apart from the next one. Mass-produced. But there are gifts that are handmade, gifts that are homemade, gifts that bear the maker's individuality, that bear the marks of being not perfect, maybe, but one of a kind. Well, the gift that God gave to us is one of a kind. There's never been another gift like this gift. In fact, John captures it maybe as well as any of the biographers of Jesus do. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Those words, "only begotten," refer to a uniqueness of Jesus Christ. The Greek word there is monogenēs. It's a two-part word, "only begotten." We have to translate both sides of that word to really appreciate what John is saying. John 1:18, he talks about it's the only begotten that has really declared to us the Father. Nobody can declare the Father like the one who is only begotten of the Father. John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." So over and over again in the Gospel of John, we read this word "only begotten," monogenēs. It is a word that was translated by Hugo McCord as unique in his translation. There's a lot of controversy about that because most felt that he didn't go far enough in that translation, that he left a part of the word untranslated, and perhaps he did. I don't think it was his intention necessarily to denigrate the virgin birth of Jesus, but that was at least what seemed to happen as a result of that translation of unique, because Jesus was more than unique. Jesus was one of a kind, the only one of that kind, the only one that there ever will be of that kind. And so contained within those words, only begotten, is the concept of the virgin birth. There have been some amazing births down through history. There are some amazing births that are recorded in the Bible. Think about Abraham and Sarah. That's a pretty amazing birth, isn't it? To think of how old they were and think of how they were past the ability of having children, and yet here comes Isaac, thanks to the blessing of God. And so that's a unique birth. Zacharias and Elizabeth, that's a unique birth. When we get to the New Testament, there are some births that stand out in Scripture as being unique. There never was another birth like the birth of Jesus Christ. He was born of the Virgin, Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 1:18. You'll never find another birth that compares to that birth. You'll never find another birth that is unique as that one is. That one stands alone in the history of time as unique. That's the unique gift that God gave to us. And so there's no gift as unique as this gift. That's what makes it unspeakable. But in the second place, there's no gift as needed as this gift. I love to give somebody something and they open it up and they say, I needed this or I needed that. That means you did a lot of thinking about it. It means that you knew what they were wanting or needing, and you got exactly what they needed. That's a good thing, to give somebody something they need. You know, there are gifts that we want, but that we don't need. There are gifts that we need, but we don't really want them. You know, socks kind of fall in that category. If you get socks for Christmas, that's something you need. It's not necessarily something that you want. But then there are gifts that we need and want, and Jesus Christ was a gift that we not only wanted, He was a gift that we needed. In fact, we needed Him more than we've ever needed any gift in the history of the world. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We can't quote that too much. We can't remind ourselves of that too much. The wages of sin are death, Romans 6 and verse 23. And so all of us were in a position to where death was what was coming for us. But Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says that Jesus tasted death for every man. He tasted death for us. That's what we deserved, but He took it for us. He tasted death for us. He died so that we might not perish. John 3 and verse 16. There never has been a gift that was needed as much as the gift of Jesus Christ, because without that gift, without His death on the cross, there would be no hope for our salvation. So we see that this gift is unspeakable. Number one, because it's more unique than any other gift. Number two, because it's more needed than any other gift. But in the third place, no gift compares to this gift because it's more expensive than any gift that's ever been given. We may have received some expensive things over the years, some gifts that were very high in price or cost. Maybe somebody bought you a house. Maybe somebody bought you a car. Maybe somebody bought you a boat. Those are pretty expensive gifts. I've never received those gifts. Maybe you have. But maybe you received other gifts. Maybe you received a piece of jewelry that cost thousands of dollars. That's an expensive gift. Or maybe even today, if you receive a phone, a cell phone, that's a pretty expensive gift, isn't it? They don't come cheap anymore. They cost a lot of money. So if you receive something like that, that's an expensive gift. That's a costly gift. But has there ever been a gift that's given? I don't care how big the diamond was. I don't care how pure the gold was. I don't care how one of a kind the ruby was. There's never been another gift that compares to the gift that God gave us in the gift of His Son. It's the most expensive gift ever given. The Bible emphasizes the cost of that gift. In 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish." He says your redemption, it wasn't gold, it wasn't silver, it wasn't precious metals that were paid for your redemption. No, it was precious blood. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. It was the blood of a lamb. It was the blood of a lamb that was without spot and without blemish. It was the ultimate fulfillment of all of those lambs of the Old Testament. That's what was paid for you. That's why this gift is unspeakable, because this gift costs more than any gift has ever cost. You ever given somebody something and they protested saying, "It's too expensive. It costs too much. I can't take this. I can't accept this because of the cost of it." Think about the gift that God gave us, a gift that is the most costly gift ever given. But I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. I want you to notice the passage. We quote Romans 8:31 pretty often. make reference to the fact that if God is for us, who can be against us? Then when we get into the context, I want you to notice verse 32, because it makes a point that I think we really need to make about this unspeakable gift. Romans 8 and verse 32. First of all, Romans 8 is quite a challenging chapter. It's difficult, the creation groaning and all that involved with that. When you get over to this section, though, it becomes beautiful for another reason. It says in verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" You know, we talk about God being for us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? What's the ultimate evidence that God's for us? What's the ultimate evidence that God is on our side, that God is backing us, that God wants the best for us? Well, it's what God gave. He didn't spare His only Son. Is God for you? Yes, He is. How much is He for you? He's so much for you that He gave His Son for you. He gave His Son up that you might be set free, that you might be delivered. That's how much God is for you. How can you go wrong with a God that's for you to that extent? How can you go wrong with a God that's backing you and supporting you to that level? That's what Paul says. He didn't spare His Son. If He didn't spare His Son, then you know that God is for you. You know, that's a love that from which it's hard to separate somebody. In fact, the context would say it's impossible to separate somebody from that kind of love. Now, it's not teaching once saved, always saved, but it's teaching that if we want to abide in His love, we can. If we want to abide in His love, nothing, no power outside of us is capable of forcing us away from that love. The only way that we can lose that love or be separated from that love is if we make the choice. Because that love was so great that it gave Jesus to die for us. I want you to consider a fourth reason why this is an unspeakable gift. It's an unspeakable gift because no gift is as undeserving as this gift. You ever given somebody something and they said, "I don't deserve this"? Maybe you gave somebody a promotion and they said, "I don't deserve this." Maybe you gave them some kind of reward for something, maybe an honor, a badge of some kind. He said, I was just doing my duty. I don't deserve this. Well, that's true of gifts sometimes that we receive, but there's no gift that is as undeserved as this gift. This is the gift of grace. It's an unmerited, undeserved kind of gift. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 is a wonderful chapter talking about the salvation that we enjoy, but it's a chapter that talks about grace really throughout. And when he begins talking about it, notice first of all, we'll go look at verse 2, "Through whom also we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So we have this grace. But then when you get down to verse 15, he says, "But the free gift..." I'm going to pull out my reading glasses, because if I don't, I'm going to skip a word, and I don't want to do that. It says, "But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." So the gift of grace. That gift of grace was Jesus Christ. It was this one man who died that we might be delivered from our sins. This is the grace of God. This is the gift of God's grace. That's a great description of Jesus, the gift of God's grace. But you have to be reminded of what grace is. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. This is an unspeakable gift because none of us deserved it. None of us deserve this gift. None of us have done anything to earn this gift. None of us are worthy of this kind of gift. This is given by God's grace. It's by His unmerited favor. Look as he continues down through the context. He's going to talk about the gift over and over again. Verse 16, "And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." Go over to verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where it abounded, or where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's the gift of grace, this gift that God gave to us that's unmerited, undeserved, unspeakable gift, a gift that words fail to talk about, beyond our ability to even express. We try to tell people about the gift of God's grace, and yet we really can't describe what's so wonderful about it. But tonight we've seen four reasons, four things that kind of help us to put into words how unique it is and how needed it is and how expensive it is and how undeserved it is. And when we begin to put all of those pieces together, then we get the idea of why Paul says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. What a simple statement, just a few words. But in talking about God's unspeakable gift, Paul probably did the best job that anybody's ever done of telling us why it's so wonderful. Because it's too wonderful for words. Sometimes we sing a song at youth devos, and I don't know if I can remember the words. I'll try to recall the words. Maybe you can help me if I don't. But it's a song that says, I stand amazed. You're beautiful beyond description. More marvelous. More marvelous than words, is that right? More marvelous than words, you're wonderful beyond comprehension, beyond anything thought or heard. And then he talks about your infinite wisdom, your unfathomable love. Those things are just things that are beyond words. We try to express them, but they're beyond words. You ought to sometimes just pay attention to what the Bible says is unspeakable, unspeakable joy, unspeakable gift. And then think about what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, where he talks about that which the peace that passeth understanding. There are things that are beyond our ability to comprehend. There are things that are beyond our ability to say. And those gifts are always God's gifts. Man's gifts can always be somehow put into words. But God's gifts, salvation, is always beyond our ability really to talk about how great it's going to be. You know, can you imagine, given what we know about Jesus Christ and this gift, and given what the Bible talks about the peace that we enjoy, can you imagine how beautiful and wonderful heaven's going to be? I mean, if these things are beyond our ability to speak, can you imagine being in that city that God's prepared for us? You know, John is struggling in the book of Revelation. You may not know it because he's got advanced revelation, but he's struggling to put into words just how beautiful that place is. He takes earthly things that we can comprehend and we can understand, jasper and pearls and crystal, and he talks about all these streets of gold. He talks about all these things, and yet those things don't touch how wonderful it's going to be. Those are just the best words that he has. Those are the best things to which he can compare it. Imagine our ability to... I had a friend who was a missionary in Africa. And he was talking about Isaiah chapter 1, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And he talked about snow. They all looked around at each other. What's he talking about? They'd never seen snow. They'd never experienced snow. Can you imagine trying to describe snow? Somebody who's never seen it, never experienced it. It'd be hard to put into words exactly what that is. That's something you have to run your hand into. That's something you had to step out into. That's something you had to watch come down. That's something you had to feel in order to really be able to relate what it is. Those of us who are here tonight have all received an unspeakable gift. We have received a gift that is beyond our words to express. I tell people all the time when I travel overseas that they are rich beyond measure. They kind of look around and they say, sure didn't seem that way. You know, I saw a family in Costa Rica one time that did not have four walls. They only had two walls. They lived in a structure that was made of two walls, with made of old reclaimed tin. The wind could come in, but they'd get against the walls, and that was their house. And We talked about how rich they were, and I know they thought, at least when I started talking to them about how rich they were, they thought I was crazy. And I talked to him about this gift, and I talked to him about all that God's given us, and how that when we have those things, we are rich beyond measure. We're so much richer than other people who don't know about these things, who never enjoyed these things, who have never done what's necessary to claim these things. We're rich beyond measure because of the gift that God's given to us. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we invite you to become one. God gave an unspeakable gift to you. How are you going to respond to that gift? There's nothing you can give God back in return that compares to it. The closest you can do is to give yourself, to sacrifice yourself and be willing to give Him everything that you have, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You do that by believing that Jesus is God's Son, by repenting of your sins, by making the confession of faith that He is the Son of God, that God raised Him from the dead, and then being immersed in water, so that water can take away your sins, so that that gift that God gave did not fall in vain, rather went to purchase your redemption. If you're here tonight as a child of God and you've been unfaithful, maybe you've not been grateful, maybe you've forgotten just how unspeakable this gift is that God gave to you, you have the opportunity tonight to come home to reclaim that gift through repentance and confession of your sin. God is just and faithful. He will forgive you. You have that opportunity tonight as we stand and as we sing.